a te.
Yatosti
adhyavasi a te.
Shashaya param brahma.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being or the Supreme Soul, is a supreme source of the cosmic manifestation as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus, He is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. So, we read the translation. The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being.
The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being.
Or the Supreme Soul.
Or the Supreme Soul.
Is a supreme cause.
Is the supreme source.
Of the cosmic manifestation.
Of the cosmic manifestation.
As well as its reservoir.
As well as its reservoir.
And winding up.
And winding up.
Thus, He is a supreme fountainhead.
He is a supreme fountainhead.
The absolute truth.
The absolute truth.
So, it's a long purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. But we'll try to cover one paragraph and then we'll try to talk about it. Purport. Synonyms for the supreme source of all energies, as explained in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, are Janmadi Ashaya Yatha Vadanti Vat Tatpavit Tatvam Yaj Jnanam Advayam Brahma Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Sabhyate, called Parabrahma Paramatma or Bhagavan. The word iti used here in this verse completes the synonyms and thus indicates Bhagavan. This will be further explained in the later verses, but this Bhagavan ultimately means Lord Krishna, because the Srimad Bhagavatam has already accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam, the original source of all energies, or the summum bonum, is the absolute truth, which is called Parabrahma, etc. And Bhagavan is the last word of the absolute truth. But even with the synonym for Bhagavan, such as Narayana, Vishnu and Purusha, the last word is Krishna, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarva prapattyate. And besides that, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a representation of Lord Krishna as a sound incarnation of the Lord. Krishnesva dharmo pagate dharma janalibi saha kalo nasta drishtam esa puranarko dunadita. Thus, by general conclusion, Lord Krishna is the ultimate source of all energies, and the word Krishna means that. And to explain Krishna or the science of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam has been prepared. So we'll stop here, the purport, and then time is there, we'll continue. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamagim Tadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Ram
Hare Krishna. So, in the purport, if you see, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing two words, mainly. The first word is the... What is the first word he's emphasizing? He's talking about Bhagavan a couple of times, few times. And then he's also talking about absolute truth. A few times, absolute truth. Okay. So, what we do today, to start with, you know, we will try to understand the terminology, God and absolute truth, so that we have a better understanding, and then we move on to the Bhagavan aspect. What is Bhagavan? And then subsequently, you know, we start the lecture. So, God and absolute truth. Right? Now, God means controller, Ishvara. There are so many controllers, materially, right, and spiritually too. Right? In the sense that, see, we have controllers like, you know, Surya, Chandra, Indra, they're all controllers. Right? They're Ishvaras, they're also controlling. The Lord has given some portfolios to them, and they're controlling the universal affairs of the Lord. Right? Now, Krishna is the controller of the controller, Parameshwara. Right? So there is a difference between God and the controller, and the controller of the controller, which is Krishna. That is why, if you see, Srila Prabhupada always says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is God, and Godhead means, of all the gods, is the head. See, Srila Prabhupada, when he writes, right, he does not write whimsically. There is a deep meaning to that. Srila Prabhupada's every single word is a realized knowledge. See, for example, I may speak theoretically. Right? To some degree we have got realization as devotees, but Srila Prabhupada's realization and his depth of knowledge and his words are completely transcendental. It's got a very deep meaning. So we have to get that right first. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So he is the controller of the controller, Ishvara. And then he says the Supreme Personality, that means the absolute truth is the Godhead. And he's a person as well. So only Prabhupada can solve this puzzle. You know what I mean? When you say absolute truth, immediately, you know, what do you think? Oh, it's like an impersonal aspect. Some light is coming. People will think. No, Supreme Personality of Godhead means it's an absolute truth. And he said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the absolute truth. Because everything is in Krishna. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So, you know God and Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absolute truth is a person. He is Krishna. So we have to get this understanding proper. Right? So he's a God of God, he's a Parameshwara, controller of controller. That is why Krishna is worshipped in all the worlds, you know, not only in the material, also in spiritual, everywhere in Krishna is worshipped. And Srila Prabhupada says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. So Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual creations. Krishna is the source. Then Bhagavan. He talks about few times about Bhagavan, right? Now Bhagavan. Actually, Parashara Muni, he gives a definition of Bhagavan, right? Bhaga means opulence. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he translates as fortune, opulence, you know, different according to the circumstances. So opulence is, so Krishna, Bhaga means opulence, Van means one who possesses. So one who possesses opulences, what kind of opulences he possesses? He possesses six kinds of opulences. So what are they? It is wealth, right? And then he's famous. Then beauty. He's the most beautiful person. Not only in the material world, also spiritual, everywhere. and then knowledge, right? And then strength and renunciation in full. Srila Prabhupada says in full. It is not in traces. See, sometimes in the material world, we might say, this person is very rich. Whatever, maybe Bill Gates, or maybe he's not there, whoever, maybe a big rich man. But when someone else, you know, who's richer than he comes, then he's no longer rich. Right? And someone else who's richer than that other second person, he is no longer rich. But Krishna is the richest person. Right? There is no one else who's richer than Krishna. So in all the ways, right, Krishna has got the six opulences in full. So, what is the need for anyone to go beyond Krishna? See, in the material world, what is happening? People go beyond beauty. This, especially people from Mumbai and, you know, whatever, India, you know, they come there after movie stars, you know, this person is beautiful, that person. But actually, it is a Lord's illusory energy made up of earth, water, fire, and ether. Real understanding. Because they don't have spiritual understanding. They go after material bodies, right? So they say, oh, this person is very beautiful and this person is very rich. But how much beautiful, how much rich they've got? Tiny. If they get a flu, right, they're gone. The beauty is gone. If they get 10 pimples on the face, the beauty is gone. People are always wearing black mark, how to go. They've got all the creams, you know, cosmetic creams. Want to remove the black mark, want to remove the pimple head, like Godhead. So many things are there. So many creams and ointments are there to remove this, only the superficial layer. But Bhagavatam says, you have to go deeper and remove your false ego. Right? So what they're doing is they're removing superficial layer. So Bhagavan, one who possesses the six opulences, and in to the fullest degree, fullest degree. So we do not have to compromise coming to Krishna. Why did we come? Is he really rich? Is he really powerful? No, no doubt about it. He is the richest, he is the strongest, he is the most famous. Everything you'll get from Krishna. Krishna is a one-stop show, store, right? Everything you get from Krishna. There is no doubt about it. So, you know, that is the opulence and the special attributes of the Lord. And he is also personal, right? He is a person, we should always remember, right? Because Krishna reciprocates this. As devotees, we may see that, you know, Krishna reciprocates. So he is a person too, right? Now, the Lord being a person, what does he do? We'll go a little bit deeper. The Lord creates living entities, right? To expand his happiness. Living entities to expand happiness, because Lord is all powerful. Suppose a person, right, when someone else, a man and a woman, you know, what do they want to do? They want to expand the family. They'll get married, one children, two children, they expand the happiness, right? They can be happy, husband and wife, but why they want children? They want to expand their happiness, right? So in the same way, Krishna, the supreme controller, right, the supreme authority, he wants to expand his happiness. So he creates a living entity out of his marginal energy. Now, just one thing I remember. Before we move on, Srila Prabhupada says this very important point, which is, Krishna is the source of all energies. Right? So understanding that. So absolute truth means Krishna, and he's the source of all energies. We have to understand that. He's a person, but he's the source of all energies. Right? So out of his marginal energy, Krishna creates living entities. Right? Now, the living entities who are subordinate to the will of the Lord and who wants to have a loving exchange with the Lord, they are sheltered under the Lord's spiritual energy. Right? Doesn't matter, the material world, spiritual world, anywhere. Even in a hellish planet, if someone wants to be a devotee, fine. He's sheltered under the Lord's spiritual energy. Because they want to have a loving exchange with the Lord. Right? But living entities who don't want to be subordinate to the will of the Lord, who wants to exercise their free will, independent nature, very tiny, very free will is very, very tiny, right? who wants to exercise the free will, they come under the shelter of laws, material energy. Right? It's material energy. Even as devotees, right, if we have a tendency to enjoy, you are put into the material energy. So we should not think that as devotees, right, fine, we are under the Lord's spiritual energy. You are, yes, now you are. But when you go outside, when you develop a tendency to see that movie, to enjoy, you are automatically by the Lord's energy. Lord did not have to do anything. He did not have to, like us, you know, I did not have to make it. I have to make an endeavor to lift the thing and drink it or whatever it may be. But Lord's energy automatically places the devotee into the three modes. So when you develop an enjoying propensity, you are automatically put into the three modes. Be rest assured about it. So if you develop a serving mentality to the Lord, then you are put into the Lord's spiritual energy, then you will be happy. This is how it works. Lord's three modes of material nature works. So, just to please the living entity who are not subordinate to Him, the Lord has created the material universe, cosmos. Okay? Now the Lord Himself has created the 16 material objects or elements, right? Which is known as Sarga, and gave it to Brahma for as a secondary creator to make create bodies like assembly line. Have anyone worked in a production assembly line? Keep on making tubes or bottles. It's like that. The body is assembly line. You die, you get one more body. One more, you die, again one more body. Assembly line. Brahma is creating as a secondary creator. Right? Okay. Now, after the Brahma creates a secondary, Brahma being secondary creator, he makes the material bodies. Right? Then the living entity gets the material body. Now what happens is, after the living entity, he gets the material body, he misidentifies the material body as his own. Or he thinks that the body as his own, which is different from the unborn self or the unborn soul. The soul is not born. The body is given external covering. So the living entity thinks, yes, I am this body, and he starts enjoying. Now this enjoying propensity is coming because of his forgetfulness of Krishna. Because of his forgetfulness of Krishna, he develops illicit desires. Because of his forgetfulness of Krishna. So I was mentioning last time, I think, there are five principles you should know how you get into troubles, problem. First is forgetfulness of Krishna. Because of forgetfulness of Krishna, you become ignorant. Because you don't know any connection with the soul. You think you are the body. Ignorance, right? The moment you forget Krishna, what platform are you in? Bodily platform. Bodily platform means desires will come up. Right? Forgetfulness of Krishna, ignorance. Ignorance means you will get desires. Desires means sense gratification. You have to seek the material energy for your fulfillment, not Krishna. Once you have a desire to enjoy, you have to seek the material energy for your enjoyment, for which your senses are given. Your senses are given to, if you want to. Because a living entity can cultivate either sense gratification or liberation. Pravritti mark and nivritti mark. Vedas mention two parts for the living entities, right? They can, living entity, doesn't matter. They can either develop or cultivate sense gratification, means enjoying with the body, or liberation. They can seek the supreme authority and they can get liberated free from the clutches of the material energy. So, what happens? So the living entity identifies, and what does he do? Because of his forgetfulness of Krishna, he develops illicit desires. And because of that, what happens? He tries to enjoy the material energy. He enjoys the material energy because he does not have the knowledge that he is a soul. Now what happened? Impelled by the reaction of his own activity, he What happens? He transforms into various species of life. One birth as a demigod, another birth as a human being, another birth as a dog. He goes through this cycle, repeated birth and death, impelled by his own activities. So, the living entity, because of his strong attachment to material energy, is suffering. Why? Because in the third canto, Kapila Muni is explaining, the living entity is suffering because of his material consciousness. What is material consciousness? To enjoy matter. We are spirit soul, but we have a tendency to enjoy matter. Because of the living entity's attachment to matter is suffering. So how can a living entity stop this suffering? By developing Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is the is a problem solving technique to stop your cycle of birth and death. Because it gives liberation. You understand that you are a soul, right? See, as long as you know that you are the body, you have to seek sense gratification through your senses, right? I don't know I'm the soul. What will I do? I'll go and see a movie. I drink a coffee. That gives me pleasure. Because I don't know that I'm a soul. But once you know you're a soul, your focus changes. You take up Krishna consciousness. Because you know the body is just a matter, a lump. Srila Prabhupada says, is very crude in saying, dead matter. Srila Prabhupada says, body is a dead matter. It is a matter, right? Consisting of earth, water, fire. Because we identify, I think this is my body. Identify, this is a root cause of living entity's problem. And because of this, he becomes conditioned. A living entity becomes conditioned. Because of his association with the material energy from time immemorial, he thinks, yes, I am the body. I am a male. I'm the female. He conditioned. So the condition, what kinds of condition he has got? Because of his conditioning, he has to undergo seven kinds of sufferings. Because of living entities, conditioning nature, his attachment to the material energy. What he has to do? He goes through seven kinds of sufferings. What are they? Birth, death, old age, disease, adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi devi. Now, adi atmik, you know, trouble caused by the own body and mind. Right? Our mind is such a, you know, he's telling you, we cannot explain our mind how it is. When we want to do something, it's against us. When we don't want to do something, it is towards us. That is how it is. The mind is a, Krishna says, for a person who has controlled his mind, the mind is a best friend. It's a friend. You can live with your friend all the time, right? No one wants to live with the enemy. But imagine if you don't control the mind, you're living with your enemy all the time. All the time you're living. You may think it's fine, right? So if the mind is not controlled through chanting process, you're living with your enemy all the time. Like imagine, I don't like someone. I don't like you, for example. And all the time, I like you because you're wearing tilak and you're right. But for example, if someone, we have got our, everyone thinks I'm the center of the universe. And what is it? But I don't like someone, and someone is with me all the time. How would you like it? Don't like it. This is what is undergoing material creation, right? Material energy means you're living with someone, but you don't like them. Of course, husband-wife relationship is separate. That's different. We cannot talk about it. But we have to live. But Krishna says, for those who control the mind, mind is a best friend. It's a friend. All the time. For example, if I have controlled my mind is my best friend. I'm telling, come to the temple. Yes, sir. Morning. If it's cold, it's okay. Fine. Prepare for the Bhagavatam class. Okay, you know. He's not a very good friend, but little bit better. You know, do this for Krishna. Oh, no. Yes, okay. You know, little bit better. As you progress in Krishna consciousness, the maya will leave you. You know, and then your mind will be your best friend. Anything you say, 24 hours standing, 2 days, Nirjala, we'll do 32 rounds. Okay. No problem. What is that? If you don't do Krishna consciousness, see, as a living entity, we can either perform material activity or spiritual activity. If you don't do spiritual activity, you have to do material activity. Either sense gratification or devotional service. So if you don't do devotional service, you have to do sense gratification. There's no question about it. Serve Krishna or Maya. This is a universal rule. If you don't serve Krishna, you're serving Maya. You cannot, it's a very simple fact, you know. You cannot say this, you know. You have to serve either Krishna or Maya. It's very simple. Because you are marginal energy. Right? Either you associate with spiritual energy or material energy. That's it. As simple as that. So, he gets that. Seven kind, okay? Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik we have talked. Adi Bhautik, you know. I think all the Brahmachari devotees, right? They know what is Adi Bhautik. Bed bugs. Okay? You are not doing anything. But the bed bugs will come and like your blood. It is not bed bugs, it's blood bugs. Right? They come and like you. They want to be your friend. But would you like to be their friend? Right? This is how it is. See? Adi, Bhauti, other living entities will come and harass you. You will be going on the road, they'll come and stab you. Material energy. You did not do anything. Someone will come and shoot you, you know. This is, you have to go through that. Because you are attached to the material energy. But if you attack to the spiritual energy, then the Lord will protect you. Material energy means on your own. Because this material energy will give a separate existence from Krishna. Because of the forgetful nature. Yes, I am a man. I want to do this. I'll do this. See, separate existence it gives, material energy. Because it's a Lord's separated energy. It's created for a purpose. Now, because of this situation, the Lord empowers the Lord's illusory energy himself. The Lord himself empowers the Lord's illusory energy for creation purpose. See how it is? So, the Lord empowers the illusory energy for creation, maintenance and destruction purpose. So, the Lord's illusory energy is very, very powerful, consisting of the three modes. Krishna has empowered them for creation. Now, because of that, what happens? A living entity, right? Because he's associating with the material energy, the material nature acts on him and binds him. Look at this, what's happening, right? Because of the living entity's association, right? Of his attachment to the material energy acts on him and binds him. And it is very, 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 very difficult. Hare Krishna. So it's very, very difficult. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Our elevated personalities are there. One from New Zealand. Paramahamsa. He is from Perth, Paramahamsa. You don't know Prabhu?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Hare Krishna. It is said that when a senior Vaishnava comes, one has to respect them. That's the proper etiquette, you know. Doesn't matter. You can stop speaking Bhagavatam also. So I feel that, you know, they're elevated and they're... So this is a proper etiquette to greet them. Hare Krishna. So the living entity acts on them, binds them, and there is no freedom. So living entity is caught up in the cycle of birth and death. Because he is attached to material energy, so it traps them. It's very, very difficult for a living entity to escape from the material energy, the Lord's illusory energy, because it traps him basically. On your own endeavor, it's highly impossible. That is why you are doing devotion service. Now, in this regard, in the 11th canto, Uddhava, the Lord's dear associate, he is speaking a very good verse. It is in the perfection of spiritual knowledge. Uddhava is saying, my dear Lord, we can say to our Lord, Radha Vallabha, the living entities on one side, they are going through a terrible path of birth and death. Imagine, right, the soul is unborn, the body is constantly changing. Imagine, you know, constantly changing. Okay, oh Lord, on one side the living entities is going through a terrible path of birth and death. On the other side, the living entity is tormented by the threefold miseries of Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Daivik. For the living entity, there is no other shelter other than your Lord's lotus feet. But the living entities are so adamant and stubborn that they are neglecting the Lord's lotus feet, which is constantly pouring shower of nectar. Our Radha Vallabha's feet, if you look sincerely, you know, it is constantly spraying the shower of nectar. One has to see that through the love. Come and take shelter of that. Why do they say nectar? Because, why do they say nectar? I'll come back in a minute about that. But it's constantly spraying nectar. The term nectar is very significant here. Why? Because nectar means no immortality. Right? No birth and death. So just by coming, not even surrendering, by coming to the Lord's lotus feet itself, no repeated birth and death. Because it is showering nectar. Uddhava is saying that. So imagine, right? You are suffering. Right? And you are coming to the Lord's lotus feet, which is constantly, it is never stops. Krishna's lotus feet never stops. It's constantly showering nectar. So how nice it is to come to lotus feet and surrender to Krishna. Right? Now what I meant suffering was, every day morning we are singing Samsara Dava Alanita Loka. Right? What does it mean? This material world is compared to a blazing forest fire. Not simple, blazing. Constantly and severe forest fire. It's blazing. Now, have any one of you have seen a real forest fire? You've seen Prabhu? Forest fire. Practically no one can escape that. Right? Now this material world is compared to a forest fire. Now can we escape? Are we so powerful? Can we escape? No. Then how does one put off the fire? It is said that the spiritual master, right, he takes the mercy from the ocean of mercy. Karuna Sindhu. Dinabandhu Jagat. Karuna Sindhu. Ocean of mercy, Krishna. So what he does, he takes like a cloud, right, from the top. It is pouring water to the forest fire. If it is a forest fire, even if you call all the Melbourne fire brigade fire stations, it will not stop. Right? It will stop? No. Nature, again Krishna has to help. So the cloud has to pour the rain. And who is creating rain? Is it Melbourne Metropolitan Department? Or Bureau Department? You know, Weather Department? They know all the time erratic only. They say today the weather is 20 degrees and it will be raining. So how can they predict? So the Lord cloud has to pour on the forest fire and it has to. So in the same way, what does the spiritual master do? He takes the ocean from the ocean of mercy and he gives you relief from this blazing fire. Everyone is suffering in the material world. No one can say no, right? And then people are free by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. He is immediately feeling happy. Right? Bhagavatam is saying. Uddhava is saying, Lord's dear associate. See, one can say, right, Uddhava is a personal associate of the Lord. But he is seeing into the suffering of this conditioned soul, jivas, and he is talking there. And also, the illusory energy is so powerful, right? Now, what's happening is technically, you know, we can go a little bit higher dimension because we are seeing from Bhagavatam. We are not seeing from the material. Material means from bottom to up. What can you see? Spiritual means from top to bottom. Now, in the liberation from illusory energy, the 11th canto, it is said that the living entities, right, we are all spirit souls, right, because we've got an external covering, because we've got two kinds of covering, the subtle covering and gross covering, right. Now the living entities, which are spiritual in nature, we are actually souls, they accept in the material world roles as males and females. And what do? They unite in sexual relationship. Why? To expand their happiness, family, children, grandfather, grandchildren, expand. But Bhagavatam says, what do they get? They try to expand their happiness, but they get exactly the opposite result. Bhagavatam is saying. Right? The main source of expansion is relationship. And through that they expand. And they want to say, I want to have a good family, good house in Melbourne. I want to have 4 children. You know, one should be a doctor, lawyer, you know, and IT. And that's my problem solved. No. Bhagavatam says you get exactly the opposite result. So, we have to bear all that in mind. Okay? So, in the same way, if there is a fire here, for example, you know, if there is a fire, what you will do? Immediately look for the exit sign, isn't it? There is only one exit. Everyone has to rush there. You cannot, you know, become invincible and go. There is one exit. In the same way, if you want to get out of this blazing fire, and if you feel that there is a blazing fire, and if you want to get out, what you should do? You have to go through the exit. What is the exit for us? Our exit is through Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is the only exit. Through that only you can go. Otherwise, there is no other way, you know, you can exit yourself. Just seeing whether I covered. So basically, so to stop with that, I normally conclude with a story. So because today it's Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead, you know. Srila Prabhupada mentions that is absolute truth. He's a person, right? Now we have to establish Krishna's position as absolute truth and he's a supreme person. Now there is a story that's in Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, right? It talks about how Krishna is superior to all the Vishnu forms, right? Now that story is about what happens in Dwaraka, at the time when King Ugrasena was ruling, right? This is after Kamsa's death, right? King Ugrasena was ruling. There was a Brahmin who lived there, right? What happens was, he wants to have a child, okay? Of course, any upbringing, any parents like to have a child and upbring them. Now, this Brahmina, what the problem he had was, every time the child was born, the child disappears, dies. Disappears, not only dies, it disappears. This Brahmana. Then he was wondering, first time, okay, it happened, second time, few times. Then after third or fourth time, he went to Ugrasena, he said, you are not ruling. You are a wrong king. You are erring, you know. Because if you are very pious and if you are a proper ruler, then the citizen will not suffer like this. Because we have to bear in mind that the head of the state takes 1/6 of the karma of all the citizens. So, you are not ruling properly. That is, you are sinful. That is why, you know, my child is dying, you know, or disappearing. Now, so, King Ugrasena thought, okay, what is this, you know, okay, we'll see, you know, what's the future, you know, sometimes, you know, let's see. And again, next time also he had a child and the child disappeared. Then at that time, and again when he came and he was abusing Ugrasena, Arjuna was there. Arjuna said, how come, you know, what are you talking, you know, I know about it. Right? So, I will protect. Arjuna said, I will protect. I make sure that this child, whenever the child disappears, I will bring it back. Okay? So, next time, when this Arjuna, what he did was, with his power, right, he built up, you know, Arjuna is an archer, right? He built a spiritual, like an archery, covering the house. Right? So, that let us see which power will come. So, again, the Brahmin's wife delivered it. Baby, and the baby disappeared. Now Arjuna thought, it's really strange, you know, some strange power. Let me see what it is. So he went up to Yamaraj, the abode of Yamaraj, right? And then he checked up there. The child was not there. Then he went to everywhere, Indraloka, all the other places, throughout the world, you know, universe, he went and searched. He could not get the child. He could not see the child. Then Arjuna was a little bit, you know, panicking. Before that, Arjuna took a oath, you know, if I don't bring the child, I will enter into fire and kill myself. This is a oath Arjuna said. I can prove. Arjuna took that oath. Then he said, he searched everywhere. He could not locate the child. Then he said, fine, I will die. Just before he's going to enter into fire, what happened? Guess what? Friend. Krishna says, he's a friend to all living. If you take Krishna as a friend, he will help you. But if you don't want Krishna, no one can help you. If you consider Krishna as your friend, Lord will help you. Arjuna thought Krishna as a friend. Every instance, Krishna was helping him. Because he took Krishna as a friend. Okay? So, in this case, what happened? Krishna came. He said, Arjuna, don't worry. I'll show you where it is. Because Krishna is a supreme person. He knows everything. Then Krishna took his own chariot, divine chariot. Let's go in there. Arjuna was thinking, oh, fine. They were going. So he crossed. You know, he was going above. He said that he crossed all the seven mountains, seven islands, Loka mountain everywhere. And at one stage, when it went, it was full dark, darkness. The horse was not going because they were going in a chariot with four horses, right? The horse could not see. Krishna's transcendental horse could not see. So what did the Lord do? The Lord left his Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan Chakra was blazing, you know, and the horse was following. And they went to where? Where did they go? To the casual ocean. And Mahavishnu was sleeping there. Then when the moment when Mahavishnu saw Krishna, he said, Hare Krishna. Krishna, it's alright. Then Mahavishnu. Then Arjuna was looking. Mahavishnu is there, Krishna is there. Can't understand. Then, before Krishna could answer, Krishna looked at Mahavishnu. Then Mahavishnu said, with the folded hands, now I want to see you and Arjuna. That is why I did this. I thought no other way I could see you. I want you to see you, you know, and now I'm satisfied. Now I'll give back all the children, you can go back. So, that Brahmin got all the children and they went back. And then Arjuna thought, oh, so far I'm thinking he's my dear friend, but he's more powerful than Mahavishnu, right? Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna. Krishnasu Bhagavan Swayam. Srila Prabhupada said, see? So sometimes, you know, we argue, you know, about Krishna, Vishnu and all that. I mean, at our level, you know, we do not have to argue. But just to prove the point that Krishna is the, look at the purpose, look at the word Srila Prabhupada has translated, okay? Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what he said, Fountainhead or Godhead. Who is an absolute person. He's a person from where all the powers are coming. He did not have to do anything. All his powers will do for him. Okay? So this is the position of Krishna. So if someone chants Hare Krishna mantra, how powerful he should be. Sincerely I'm talking. If someone chants the Lord's holy name, how powerful they can become. Not now, later. Because, as I said earlier, living entity, we are associated with the material energy. Right? We are very, very tiny. What is the position of the soul? Bhagavad Gita explains. Like, just for us to be a little bit humble. Okay? Because we are, according to Krishna, right? When Krishna sees us, he doesn't see with my jumper and all that. He saw us at one speck, one tiny speck, this fellow. He sees us. He doesn't see us with this, you know, with a nice dress and you know, all this. No. He sees us, so many tiny sparks are there. Okay. Radha Pallabha is saying, so many specks. He's not seeing our body, which is made up of earth, water, fire, because Lord is anyway aloof from the material energy. Okay. Now this tiny soul, we are tiny. What is the dimension of a soul? It mentions Bhagavad Gita. You take the tip of the hair, right? One hair you take. Tip of the hair you take. You cut into 10,000 pieces. Yeah. 100 pieces and again cut into 100 pieces. That's the easier way to understand. You take a tip of the hair, you cut into 100 pieces. Okay. We are very good in cutting potatoes, but so you cut into 100 pieces, okay? And that one piece you take, again you cut into 100 pieces. This is a soul, which we are. So we are tiny, insignificant, so tiny, insignificant, okay? Which is covered with a mental energy, with a big body, big false ego with 10 heads. I'm moving like this. The moment the false ego goes, right? You are a tiny person, one speck. Now this tiny person, if he connects to the supreme person, how much can you enjoy? Okay? We understand, yes, we are tiny, we are enjoying. We are going to the movie, we are doing that, we are jumping up and down, we are enjoying, okay? Fine. Now connect to Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. How much can you enjoy? Is there any limit to that? If I tell you, if someone really wants to enjoy, this is a process. You take it. You can unlimitedly enjoy. There's nothing to stop you, right? Unlimitedly you can enjoy. Every second you can enjoy. Because of this body, we are carrying this body, it's a miserable situation. We are suffering every minute by the sevenfold sufferings, you know, Adi Bhautik, Adi. The moment you know that you are a soul, right? You're so happy, you know. Just imagine, right? So happy. So that is why all the senses should be serving Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj used all the 10 senses in serving the Lord. When you serve all the 10 senses, when you use all the 10 senses, right, which is knowledge, acquisitive senses, and the working senses in Krishna's service, then you are on the spiritual platform. Material energy will not trouble you. He attains peace, Krishna says. Right? Material energy will not trouble him. All the senses, if it is engaged Krishna's service. And that's the best way to be always happy. Right? So, now the time is 8:30. Exactly, I'm stopping now. Okay? Okay? So, thank you very much for your time. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Prema.